All right, we are on air. Cellular Healing TV, episode 30. We have a special guest, besides, of course, David and Dr. Pomp. I didn't say Dr. David this time, which is new, but welcome to Cellular Healing TV. It's your first time. You're going to get real answers, heal the cell, get well, and we bring on world changers onto this show. And today we have one of Dr. Pompa's closest friends. There's an amazing story here, and one of the best holistic dentists in the country, Dr. Derek Grieco. Welcome, Dr. Derek Grieco, David, and Dr. Pompa. This morning.
Thank you. I'm sitting next to Warren today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, and by the way, if you couldn't tell, Dr. Pomp is to my right. Or, yeah, to your, I don't know. But welcome to the show. So, Dr. Pomp, I'm just going to, you know, start the interview process here. Again, I gave it a brief introduction, but there's an amazing story here with Dr. Derek Grieco that I believe is going to transform many lives watching this today. When it comes to the topic of mercury amalgam fillings, mercury poisoning, dental health, I mean, this guy has a story with you personally that I believe is going to reach deep into people's hearts and help set them free when it comes to this topic of mercury poisoning, amalgam fillings, and dental health.
Yeah, I mean, it's estimated that 70% of all disease starts in the mouth, and that's a big number. And you know, maybe it's 60, maybe it's 80, I don't know, but even if it were 50%, that's a massive number. So that's how important this show really is. You know, I think most dentists acknowledge the fact that bacteria from gum disease, et cetera, can cause heart attacks and affect the heart, but it is so far beyond that as far as the disease that can start from not just amalgam fillings, but root canals, cavitations, you know, in the microbiome that starts in the mouth, and we've talked about how important that bacteria is. But, you know, we've got to tell the story, Derek. So you've heard me, folks, out there. If you've read my story, if you've heard me, talk about this dental appointment that changed my life forever. Literally, we would not be sitting here right now if this did not happen. So God does work all things for good, no doubt about it, because here I am. But I remember the day, Derek, and I'll let you tell your version of it too, but you know, you looked at these two back amalgams, and one was cracked perhaps, and there were some problems, and you said, let's get both of those out of there, and let's put a gold filling in, and sound like a good plan to me, and you did that. And there, 2 days after that, I remember calling your office and saying, hey, you know, I don't feel very well. Something's going on. And we both thought that it was the anesthetic. You know, I didn't take medication, didn't take drugs, so I at least blamed it on the anesthetic and, you know, whatever, moved on. And later that week, I tried to ride my bike. I was left with fatigue. Derek, it went down the road. I thought I was overtraining. You know, month later, 2 months later, the fatigue turned to insomnia, irritability. I mean, and then the list went on. I don't have to repeat it. But, you know, it all started. But it wasn't, unfortunately, until 3 years, maybe 4 years later, that I remembered the day I called you and said, Derek, when did I get that gold filling put in? And you said, I don't know. I'll call you. I'll call you with the date. And you gave me those dates, and that's when I had my cycling journal there and looked at when my symptoms started. And really, it was a bright endocrinologist said, Dan, I think you have mercury poisoning. And, you know, I said, I did a blood test. I'm okay. You know, and then he said, no, wrong test. And I did that, the right test, which wasn't a blood test, realized that, you know, I was, in fact, had a mercury issue. And I asked him, what do you think it started from? The first thing he said was, did you have any dental work done around the time all this started? I said, oh, gosh, I don't know. I had this gold put in. I don't remember the date. I'm going to call my buddy, one of my best friends who did it. And, of course, that's when it all started, Derek. So do you remember that time? You remember that?
And, like it was yesterday, Dan. Like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And
you know, Derek, I brought you after that, of course. I remember bringing you a stack of literature, right, from the World Health Organization, all this stuff. And, you know, of course, you said you were going to read it just like I would, right? And, of course, you know, life goes on, you're busy. And I'm sure you didn't read it right away, but I don't remember how many months or a year or so later you called me and invited Marilee and I to dinner. And you sat down and you said, first of all, I want to start, I owe you an apology. You know, I read what you gave me and then some, you found your own, you know, did your own homework, and you said, man, I'm sorry, you know, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, it's okay. But well, that changed your practice. Well, tell that part of the story.
Absolutely. And
first, you're a DMD. I don't even think I said that. He's a doctor.
Yeah, DDS, DMD, you know, everyone puts those initials after your name. And I'm a general dentist, and depends on which school you went to, whether you're DDS or DMD. It really doesn't matter. But anyway, I just want to thank you, Dan, for loving me enough and for forgiving me through that whole situation, because that was instrumental in changing the course of my life and my dental career. And the other thing, the other aspect that you said was you might want to look at the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, because you had found out about that through the dentist that you had gone to help you, Dr. Platel here in Pittsburgh, who's since now retired, that was a biologic dentist and had been educated in biologic dentistry. So I went to my first course in Florida, and I was actually paralyzed when I came back to my practice because I didn't want to touch anybody because of the information that I was open to. So that began my journey, and that was probably a year and a half after that you had given me those papers, you know, that whole stack of papers, and after we had met. So I remember when we had gone to dinner, I had been to my first meeting, and that's when I wanted to get together with you. And so you were very instrumental in helping me along my pathway. So where I am still learning today and still working towards becoming a better biologic dentist. So,
well, you know, I don't know how many people, it's scary to change your complete direction. It's scary to admit you were wrong. It's scary to have to go back to your patients and talk about how fillings and, you know, just drilling out these fillings can be so dangerous, you know, because you did it for how many long years. But right. I know that people respect that, you know, and I know that so many dentists out there, they're afraid to make that move because what would my patients think? And
yes.
How would I deal with my own psyche, right?
Right.
Doing wrong. That's a hard decision, man. So, you know, yeah. I have so much respect, you know, for you, and you finally did your the homework and the reading. Gosh, if we could just get more dentists to do what you did, yes. It would definitely be a different world, that's for sure.
Right, and the other issue is, you know, you spend $120,000, $150,000. Well, nowadays it's $300,000 on your education from dental school. So they have to be telling us the right things. And how could these be hurting people? And how could there be mercury coming out? We were taught that the mercury was bound inside the silver, mercury, copper, and, you know, the tin filling material. And so it's really a travesty that. That this is still being taught in schools, most schools along throughout the country, and you know, it's a shame. So,
yeah.
And the American Dental Association sticks their head in the sand, and they really don't have any credit.
Well,
we lost them.
Uh-oh. So, you know, the interesting thing that I'm sitting here listening to this is that, you know, it's both of your destinies, and where you are today have been shaped because of this. It's pretty amazing how, you know, two friends, you know, you got sick, he all of a sudden changed his path, and you're on the path that you're on because of the pain that you went through. And
yeah.
It's amazing how our destinies are shaped in the times that we don't even think about.
Yeah. It's true, you know, and I have so much respect for Derek because not many people do switch directions and admit they're wrong. And, you know, when that gold filling went in, Warren's going to get him back on. When that gold filling went in, it causes galvanism, and you've heard me talk about this in the past. People that have two different metals, those watching this in your mouth, where it could be metal around the bottom of a crown. It could be a titanium post or a brace, some type of retainer, and fillings, those silver fillings. What happens is it creates an electrical current that's called galvanism. That electrical current causes mercury to pour out of those remaining fillings 10 times at least faster than it normally would. The galvanism, that current alone, messes up how the brain works. I can't tell you know, David, how many people have this galvanism going on in their brain. So when I say that you know, dentistry is the cause of many illnesses. And that galvanism alone, where they're putting different metals in the mouth, it's a battery. That's all a battery is two opposing metals in an acid, which is your saliva, and it creates current. You can measure the current. It's not my opinion. You can literally take something that measures current and put it in your mouth. Put it in my mouth right now, or, you know, David, yours, or put it in someone that has, you know, opposing metals in their mouth, and you'd be amazed. And you'd be like, oh, my goodness, you know, I mean, that cannot be normal. It's not. It causes disease. So that alone, and then, of course, the mercury that just started pouring off of my remaining fillings, which, look, you know, amalgam illness is a, you know, 30-year-plus illness, meaning that you have these fillings in for years and that the mercury is just bioaccumulating and stockpiling the mercury vapor. Where? In the brain is where the studies show. So, you know, one of the questions I can't wait to get, you know, Derek back on is, you know, what's the ADA's rationale these days, right? Because they can no longer say that the mercury is bound up in that filling. That, he's right. Now, that's used to, you know, that what they said. I've watched them make the shift from that claim to the new claim of, well, yes, it does come off the fillings, but it's in too small of amounts to matter. You know, but yet it flies in the face of even the World Health Organization now says, flies in the face of, you know, all these other countries that are banning it, putting bans on it. Derek, are you back on? Can you
yes,
hear
sir.
Me?
I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
I guess the question I have for you is, what's the ADA's rationale now? You know, I mean, this stuff, Derek, is considered hazardous waste before it goes in your mouth. You know, Schedule 2 hazard. When it's in your mouth, they say it's safe still, right? They say that now that it just leaches too small to matter. But when it comes out of the mouth, it's handled as hazardous waste. And every year before Congress, almost every year, it comes up that let's call this stuff what it is when it's in your mouth. And that would, according to OSHA, hazardous waste. But they know if they let that go through, it changes a lot. You know, what's your feeling on that?
Yeah, that's true. And they have to be very careful because the litigation factor in our country, you know. So this could be a huge, huge loss settlement because bigger than the tobacco settlement. Because they would sue every dentist, every dental manufacturer, the ADA would be gone. So it would be a widespread litigation issue. And not to mention a huge panic from patients that have had silver mercury fillings in their mouth, that have ever had silver mercury fillings in their mouth. Mm-hmm. So, you know Boyd Haley, Dr. Boyd Haley from Kentucky. He testified before Congress with the ADA. He had stacks and stacks of information and research on mercury and what it does to the body, neural tissue, different systems of the body. The ADA, they didn't have any credible evidence of the safety. They took a break and they came back. The ADA representative was gone. Wasn't even there to continue testifying. So they you know, they really don't have any, have not come out and said anything about anything regarding the safety or the danger of mercury in the mouth. For that specific reason, I believe, is because of the widespread litigation that would happen. And it's been banned in Europe. And California comes out and has, you have to give it to your patient that you can't use it on kids or pregnant women. But why is it okay to use it on everybody else?
So it's crazy. You know, when we look at the environmental movement in the United States, there's greater protection there. You know, one adult-sized filling, I forget, maybe it's 750 micrograms of mercury in that one filling, but it's estimated that it pollutes a 20-acre lake, you know. So, wait a minute. It's like right. It pollutes a 20-acre lake, and it can kill the bacteria, the, you know, ultimately the algae, the fish, and disrupt that microbiome or ecosystem. Imagine what four fillings is doing in our mouth, in our body, in our ecosystem, you know. I mean, if, you know, folks, I mean, it's there's greater protection there than, you know, in our own body. You know, right on the amalgam. I wish you had a bottle of amalgam there just to show people, but the skull and crossbones are on it, right? I mean, with warnings, not to let children play with it, but yet we're still putting it in their mouths there.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, even if you look at the physical properties of mercury, I believe the melting point is between 60 and 70 degrees, and your mouth is 98.6, and you're constantly thermocoupling between hot and cold foods that you eat, so there's off-gassing happening all the time. When your teeth come together, off-gassing. So I don't know how they can... They don't have any evidence or any, can't say that there is some concern with the mercury silver fillings that dentists are using today.
Well, Derek, give the watching audience, the listening audience, just some ideas of, you know, why it's so important to take this stuff out correctly for them. And, you know, of course, I have a pre-protocol where before you even get them out, we put somebody on. For 1 month, we open up their detox pathways. And then I want you to speak about some of the things that need to be done, you know, during a visit. Now, you know, just in for you as well, not just for the patient, because dentistry has the highest rates of neurodegenerative conditions, depression. I mean, the list goes on.
Suicide.
Yeah, exactly. Suicide.
Highest divorce rate, highest drug addiction rate.
Yeah, divorce rate, drug addiction. So, I mean, the dentist is not immune to what's happening. But that's the importance for the dentist and for the patient of how to do the proper removal. So describe that a little bit.
Well, that's great. I give all the credit to Dr. Hal Huggins, who I've been trained by, and his right-hand person, Dr. Blanche Gruby, who I just spent a week with in Scranton. I help her with her practice occasionally. So that's been a blessing to learn hands-on with her. But when you're looking at treating a patient, and it's very important, like Dan said, that you're preoperatively treated with liver and kidney and making sure your digestive system is working properly, because this is an insult to your system, no matter how safe we try to be.
Absolutely.
So with our procedure, we use, first of all, we give activated charcoal beforehand, before the visit, as we're given the anesthetic. Secondly, we cover the patient fully draped with a sterile clothing, and then we use a rubber dam, which covers their whole mouth, oxygen mask that covers their face so they're breathing 100% oxygen, and eye protection. We also cover their hair as well. So we basically cover their whole body, but the only thing that's exposed is their mouth, and it has a rubber non-latex covering. We use a high-speed suction, a lot of water, and we have a IQ air filter that we put right by their face. And we also have a negative ion exchange airflow machine that captures any mercury particulate that's coming off of the filling in the air. So that's very important to be treated like that. And the fillings, if you're sedated, you can cross the midline. If you're not sedated, you can only do one half of the mouth at a time, and you have to worry about the charges of the fillings. So you want to take the highest negative charged fillings out first. But that's basically the procedure. It's not rocket science, but it's easy to do, and it protects your patients and yourself greatly. We wear respirator masks for mind safety. We have my assistant and I are fully covered and clothed. Once we take out all the mercury silver filling, we completely disrobe, we completely clean the patient, change everything, change the rubber dam, take everything out, throw everything away in a biohazard, get it out of the room, and then we proceed with restoring the patient with a biocompatible material that's good for their body that we've tested them for afterwards. That's another key issue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can't throw any material in somebody's body, in somebody's tooth, because their body can react to it.
So. Well, you know, just hearing that procedure, I hope, you know, our watchers here just really, you know, appreciate how dangerous it is. How many people do I see that, you know, they tell the story. They got their amalgams out, and either some get sick right away because they just breathe all the vapor. They're sitting there drilling, filling, heating it up. mercury vapor going right up their nose, which you protect it against, and they wonder why things are not normal. Or some people get them out and they have what I call a honeymoon period, where they actually feel somewhat better, only to fall off the planet 6 to 9 months later. And I think the honeymoon period, Derek, this galvanism that often is from people's mouths, you know, with opposing metals, you take that current away, people feel better. I remember sleeping through my nights, you know, after that occurred. And, you know, but then it doesn't last, because once the fillings are gone, now the mercury just starts moving out of the body, and it creates what I call the crazies. And folks, if you haven't, I wrote 3 articles on this. Go to my website, and you'll see under resources articles, I guess there's even a place now that says articles, and you will see there's 3 parts, when detox becomes dangerous, and there's part 1, 2, and 3. Watch the videos. More importantly, read the articles, because a lot of these details are in there. 4 days after the last filling comes out, it is so important to start the proper chelation, because otherwise body's going to start mobilizing these metals, and it really prevents you from, you know, that happening. So, you know, Derek, I mean, you might want to speak to some other things, and I definitely want you to speak to root canals, the dangers of root canals, because so many people that I see, they get very, very sick. Cancer, unexplainable illnesses because of root canals as well.
Before we jump into that, something just hit me hard, because I have a toxicology background. That's my previous, I have a master's degree in toxicology chemistry, and previously this is what I did in the environment. So we would spend millions of dollars literally probably cleaning up the amount of mercury amalgam filling that's in maybe 3 or 4 fillings, and we'd literally spend $1 million cleaning up. We'd test the soil, and if it's from an abandoned mine or where there was mercury, we'd look for that element, arsenic, lead, you know, of course, those things as well. But if we found high levels of mercury, we had to clean it up. Or if there was a small mercury spill at a industrial facility, I mean, you pulled all punches. You wore the same garb and gear that you have to wear, and I had to go in and expose myself. There's still a level of exposure that you still get, even with your, it's called PPE, personal protective equipment. MSA is probably the company. I know the filters. You know, I bought them myself. I've done mercury cleanup. It comes in different forms, but it's extremely hazardous when you're drilling on it. So, you know, I believe Derek needs to be thanked. You know, and every dentist that goes in and does an environmental cleanup, essentially in someone's mouth, that are being poisoned and killed, putting his own health at risk to save lives. So you really are, you know, putting your own self at risk. I quit that job because it was making me sick. PPE and protective equipment, you know, and maybe God's blessed you with the right genetics to help move some of this mercury out, but you are putting yourself at risk for the betterment of humanity. And every dentist that does this needs to be thanked. So if you know your dentist that's doing this, you need to go in and shake his hand. Thank you for risking your life every day cleaning up toxic mouths across the country. So, Derek, thank you.
Yeah, well, I just pray God's protection over me every day, and I rely on Him totally for that. But we're not called to be stupid and naive either.
Yeah.
So, but on the other extent, dentists are one of the biggest polluters of the environment. If they're not capturing and filtering the amalgam that they're taking out of someone's mouth, so your dental supplier can set up your suction unit with a amalgam mercury trap that's not very expensive, easy to do. You unscrew it after every day, you tighten it up, and you put it in the biohazard, and they come and pick it up for you. So it's an easy thing to do to keep that from going into the water systems of your local communities.
We've tested those outflows, and the levels are 1,000 times the water that flows into the sewer system. I've worked at a federal aviation site in Spokane, and I didn't believe this, honestly, Derek. You know, when I first found out about it with my background, it was like, there's no way. So right. I called, actually, when I did the test, the Doctor's Data Heavy Metal Challenge, I actually sent out another sample of that, because I didn't believe the company, to another laboratory to prove it. And I also called the laboratories, and this is how I found out about dental offices polluting the environment. Like, oh yeah, you know, if it's safe, then why do I see such high amounts of mercury when we test, you know, the waters that are the outflow of dental offices? Because on aviation bases, government sites, that stuff's regulated. and it looks like it's not on general density, but, you know, let's move on.
Right, correct. To your question, to your point, Dan, about root canals, I've had a lot of my patients that have root canals. So, you know, I'm on a slippery slope here. Hey, Dr. Pico, you recommended me have two root canals 10 years ago. Now that I'm learning more, you know, I'm very cautious of, you know, I have to give my patients the option of a root canal, but I also have to educate them in the pros and cons of each procedure that we recommend. But the evidence of root canal toxicity is you know, started back with Dr. Weston Price back in the 1920s and 30s. His own son died after he did a root canal on his front tooth. Mm-hmm. And he was suspicious of that procedure, so he implanted his son's extracted front tooth into a rabbit.
Yeah.
And the rabbit died of a heart attack, just like his son did. He did that to 60 other rabbits, and they all died of the same ailment. Mm. So that was the first, you know, back in the 20s and 30s. Mm. Dr. George Meinig, the developer and the founder of the American Endodontic Society, before he died, he wrote a book denouncing and speaking against root canals. He was the founder of the root canal, the American Endodontic Society. Dr. George Meinig, if you wanted to look him up. But in my research, and Dr. Boyd Haley has been instrumental at the University of Kentucky of opening my eyes in the toxic bacteria surrounding root canal teeth. And that toxic bacteria causes, you know, we're always, the main key point is inflammation, body inflammation. So the disease process in the body is all based on inflammation. And we're finding that root canal teeth are one of the major contributors to different disease processes in the body. So a lot of times, you know, we're doing a revision on a patient. We recommend they have the root canal teeth taken out, not only with the mercury silver fillings, and that brings up the other issue of cavitations in the jawbone, which has similar bacteria, toxic bacteria that the root canal teeth carry. So it's a big issue, and it's a, you know, there's a lot of controversy behind it, because there's over probably 60 to 70 million root canals done in our country every year. Mm-hmm. So it's huge. So it's definitely a part of the disease process that's going on in our society today.
Well, I know Boyd Haley, from his own research, they were sending him and his staff what is called safe extracted root canals, meaning that there was no pain, right? You know, yeah. They had no pain, but they had a root canal, and they were taking them, extracting them, and sending them to his staff, and they found anaerobic bacteria in high levels on everyone. So he came to the conclusion that there is no safe root canal. And, you know, yeah. I mean, we speak to that, because I think you said it right. There's so much controversy here, right? There's many biological safe dentists who feel they can make one safe. There's many who stand on the other side and say it's impossible to make one safe because of these thousands of microtubules that hold these anaerobic bacteria. What, you know, what's your opinion? I mean,
the buzzwords of, they're using lasers for root canals now. Yeah. And oxygen ozone therapy for root canals. Dr. Phil Malika, a fantastic dentist, one of the pioneers on the ozone therapy in our country, teaches many dentists every year about ozone therapy, and he also says that it's, you know, he advocates root canals with ozone therapy. Well, that's great. It's sterile. But how long does it stay sterile? And there's a matter of time before those bacteria work back into those little microtubules and they find a place to live. So I'd be interested to hear his thoughts on that, long term. But like Dr. Boyd Haley said, there's no safe root canal for the long term. You can sterilize it for a little bit, maybe, you know, 34 hours. 24 to 36 hours, maybe. But after that, you know, who knows what happens with the bacteria getting back in.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I mean, I know that people out there are saying that right now, what are my options, right? I always say that there's three options, really. Take the root canal out and leave a gap, which most people don't want that. Get a Maryland type of bridge that spans the front tooth and the back tooth, non-metallic, of course, ceramic, or an implant. Then we run into titanium things versus ceramic. So speak to some of those options right there.
Yeah, if it's a single tooth, you're losing a single tooth, first thing that we recommend is we put a little valplast, little partial in, a little flexible partial. And first and foremost, always, we want to make sure it's biologically compatible with the patient. I want to make that a key point.
And that's just a blood test that you run on your patient.
Blood test. And sometimes patients will do muscle testing through their practitioner. And the more that I'm learning about that, I think that's adequate. But if you really want to be scientific and really want to know, a blood test.